The town of Springfield, Ohio, unveiled a statue of boxer Davy Moore last weekend. In life, Moore was 5'2", but he now stands 8 feet tall. At the ceremony, family and friends were joined by the boxer who dealt the blows that led to Moore's death 50 years ago. Mike Foley of Only a Game affiliate WCBE in Columbus, Ohio, has our story.
He'd be proud of this. It's really been an experience. We're just glad that it's here, and there he stands there.
Davy Moore's widow, Geraldine, and most of her family were among the more than 200 people on hand for the unveiling of her husband's statue on a sunny day in Springfield, Ohio. Moore grew up in this town, but his place in history was sealed 50 years ago during a boxing match at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
This is one they're going to remember for a long time, whether they watch it in Tokyo, Japan, or Mexico City, Mexico, or in the Philippines, or what have you. They're going to remember this one.
When announcer Steve Ellis described the 10th round action between featherweight champion Davy Moore and challenger Altamino Sugar Ramos, he was right. People would remember the fight because it would cost Moore his life. As a teenager, Moore earned a spot on the 1952 U.S. Olympic team. In 1959, he won the professional featherweight title and defended his belt 23 times over the next 4 years.
He wasn't flashy. You know, he wasn't loud and brash. He was the consummate professional. I mean, he was considered among the top contenders for that mythical, you know, the best pound-for-pound boxer.
That's sports historian David Davis. In 1963, the 29-year-old Moore and the 21-year-old Ramos fought as part of a card billed as the first nationally televised set of boxing matches.
Ooh, Moore is bleeding around the mouth, but look out. Hold the phone. Now Ramos is hurt.
But Ramos eventually took control in the 10th round. When he knocked Moore down, the champ's neck hit the bottom rope. Again, David Davis.
He was able to get up and finish the round, which was pretty unbelievable that he did that. But his corner men looked at him and just said, no, this is over, and the fight was stopped. And Davy actually gave an interview, you know, in the ring.
Dave, I know it was a tough one. What's the story?
It just wasn't my night tonight.
It wasn't your night tonight.
In the dressing room, Moore soon began complaining that his head hurt. He was rushed to the hospital, fell into a coma, and died 3 days later. Moore's death led to calls for boxing to be banned and songs of protest, including one from Bob Dylan.
Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for it?
No one killed Davy Moore. Nobody killed him. It was a very, very tragic accident, and nobody was to blame.
Although the fight left Geraldine a widow with 5 children, she never blamed her husband's opponent.
I've had people say, what do you think about that song? And I said, well, I don't really know, but I feel today the way I felt that day. And it was not his fault. He could not help it. It was a tragic accident, and I'll stick with that.
So without further ado, we present to you Davy Moore.
During the Moore statue unveiling in Springfield last weekend, Moore's son Ricky admitted that he often wondered why his family showed no animosity toward Ramos. He eventually found the reason.
So one day I was wrestling through Dad's photo albums, and I came across the picture with Sugar Ramos outside my dad's hospital room. He was sitting in a chair similar to what these people are sitting in, and he had his hands in his face, weeping heavily. And I looked a few more seconds, and I closed the book.
Ramos traveled all the way from Mexico City to attend the ceremony and spoke through his friend and interpreter, Joe Flores.
It was hard because it's always in my mind. I'm always thinking about what I did, about what happened. And it hurts. But that's the law of life.
The love the Moore family gave Ramos at the unveiling provided him with a way to heal emotional wounds that he's held on to for the past 50 years.
It was pretty for me, beautiful for me, because I saw what I wanted to see without being excited. I was at ease.
asustarme, ponerme nervioso.
And I wasn't afraid and I wasn't scared. There was none of that. It was totally different.
Hubo paz.
There was peace and tranquility.
Today, Geraldine Moore has grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even one great-great-grandchild. She hopes the statue keeps the story of Davy Moore in the conversation for future generations.
At least people know this man did exist and that he was a great man. He really was. My husband was a great man. He tried to help people when he could and if he could. Davy Moore was somebody. He was really somebody.
For Only a Game, I'm Mike Foley in Columbus, Ohio.
It was out to California young Davy Moore was bound to meet with Sugar Ramos for the holding of the crown. He left his home in Springfield, his wife and children five. The spring was fast approaching, it was good to be alive.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. We had help this week from Martin Kessler, James Trout, Tim Skog, and Glenn Alexander. David Davis helped with our story about boxer Davy Moore. Our intern is Zoe Sobel, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To check out Mike Foley's Davy Moore photographs, please visit onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from Denver Post columnist Benjamin Hockman, who comments on the dual ambitions of Colorado Symphony resident conductor and avid Denver Broncos fan Scott O'Neill.
Key performances by the violinist are the equivalent to touchdowns, and he's figured that if he could get better salary per performance by his violinist, he someday would be the Peyton Manning of the orchestra.
So Wes Welker would be the inconspicuous little guy in the corner playing the glockenspiel, right? I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
The men who owned young Davy Moore were waiting for their share. He
stood there. Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.